that God's laid upon the heart to all our little ones. They got a different world to grow up in than what I grew up in, what most everybody in here did. And they need our prayers. You know, on Sunday mornings, all them little ones come running up front. And they put a smile on my face. What a blessing it is to see them. And yet at the same time, it puts a burden on my heart for them. Because of the day and hour that we live. And so I hope the message tonight will challenge you. And God has laid this upon my heart out of the book of Jude, if you'd turn there. The book of Jude. 25 verses in the book of Jude. And yet this is one book in the Bible that speaks volumes to me. Every time I read it, I'm challenged by it. And I see things going on in our world today that God allowed Jude to see a long, long time ago. And so I ask for your prayers tonight and ask you to listen to what God has to say out of His Word tonight. Now, the book of Jude, it centers around a lot of false teaching. And certainly in the day that we live, there's a lot of false stuff going on, a lot of counterfeit and a fake mess going on in a lot of churches today. That's why you see so many different versions of God's Word. Jude says there's ungodly men have crept in, and they certainly have. That's a great truth that we can look at and realize it. Crept in unawares. But I challenge you, as members of Liberty Baptist Church tonight, be aware of what God is saying to you and me. Now, we better stick with what God says in His Word. This King James Bible is truth. I could easily stand before you and tell you a lie. You ought to be able to discern truth. Amen. The Bible tells us to study to show ourselves approved unto God. And so, you ought not to just take what I say as truth, but you ought to be able to back up what I say with the Word of God. And if it's not backed up with the Word of God, then call a dog a dog and a hog a hog. Amen. Somebody's got to take a stand in these days. There's a lot of churches that's failed by the wayside because nobody would take a stand. Amen. The devil is, the Bible tells me, the devil, he's even disguised as an angel of light. There's devils in pulpits tonight. Amen. And so we better heed the Word of God, and I want to say I'm preaching for these little ones tonight. And if a little one can't motivate us, what can? Amen. I love little children. And I'm glad we got a house full of them. And I commend mamas and daddies for bringing your children to the house of God. I know it's probably hard a lot of times to get ready and get them ready and get them fed and get them to the house of God, but they need it. They need it. And so I commend you for that. This little book of Jude tells us that we ought to be able to discern false doctrine. We ought to be able to discern false teachers. And we ought to be able to discern even the times that we're living in today. These are the last days. And God has warned us. He's given us warning in the Word of God of things that's going to be taking place in the world in the day and hour that we live, and it's upon us. The perilous times, the false teachers, false doctrines, false religions. And we're to be defenders of the truth. And I thank God for what we have got at Liberty Baptist Church today. But you know what? There's a lot of churches that were standing on solid ground, and one wrong man comes in and takes over and turns it upside down. It can happen. And so we need to be discerners and defenders of the truth of God. And he tells us, let's read the first four verses here before I get into any further into the message. The book of Jude in verse number one says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. He's talking about blood bought, born again, children of God, servants of God. And we're all supposed to realize that we're disciples, we're servants. We're to be serving the Lord in the capacity that He's given us, and the abilities that He's given us, and the calling that He's given us to do. So He's addressing you and I, children of God. And He's got a lot to say to us in these verses right here. Notice this right here. He says this, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Why would He give these three blessings right here? Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Because we need help in the day and hour that we live. There's a lot of things. The devil's going to throw everything he can at the child of God that's trying to serve God and do what's right and stand and defend the truth in the days that we live. And so we need mercy. We need love and we need peace. And he wants us to know right here that he's praying that it be multiplied unto you and I. And he says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you, listen to this, that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. There's one faith, and that is in the Lord Jesus Christ and the finished work of Calvary's cross. You'll find a lot of religions in the world today, but there's one way to God, and that's through the mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the finished work of Calvary's cross. And I'm glad I came in at the door one day. I'm glad I found the way to get to God and to be saved through the preaching of the Word of God one day. And he says that we are to earnestly contend for the faith. Fight. It's a fight. Boy, I'm telling you, in the day and hour that we live, one of the enemies we have today is television. One of the enemies that we have today is schools. Amen. Might as well just be honest about it. Years ago, Brother Jake probably seen it in his day, when schools, it was part of the curriculum to teach the Bible. In fact, that was one of the main purposes of school, to teach kids what God's Word says. And then you taught them reading and math and things like that. But the Word of God was very, very important years ago. Now we live in a day when the people in charge, I guess you might say, or have done everything they can to push God out of our children and to teach them a lie, to get them to believe a lie. The devil he's shrewd. He's crept in. Little by little by little, he's taken and he's taken and he's taken and he's taken. Now the Ten Commandments offends people. Take it off the courthouse wall. On our coins, on our currency, in God we trust. There's people that's done everything they can to get that taken out. They're fighting a losing battle though. Faith's going to be found on this earth when the Lord returns. So I want you to notice right here, Let's go a little further in our Bible. Now, the Bible teaches me that the Lord has set His throne for judgment. And we'll see, I won't go over these verses right here, but you can see the past judgment on false teachers, on false believers. And you can see a future judgment that's coming one day. On over in verse number 14, 15. The Lord's coming back one day and He's going to execute judgment. There's going to be a judge, but there's not going to be a jury in that day. There's going to be a prosecution, a prosecutor, but there ain't going to be no defense. And there's going to be a sentence, and there won't be an appeal. God's just, and He's the judge of all. And judgment is coming upon this world. And so I want you to see, we're going to start over in verse number 17 and go through the rest of this chapter right here. But I want to show you some things right here in God's Word. First of all, He's addressing you and I. He's exhorting you and I. And I want you to see the importance of four things right here and remaining verses right here in the Bible right here. First of all, let's look at verse number 17. He said, "But beloved," speaking to children of God, He said, "remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ." I'm talking about now, first of all, the importance of our Bible. The importance of God's holy, infallible, inerrant Word of God that's going to stand when this world is on fire. The Word of God is sure. The Word of God is pure. He said, "But beloved, remember ye." There's things in this Bible right here that's necessary for us. Job said, "I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." This Bible is important in your life and in my life. Can I ask you a question? Have you studied your Bible today? Have you had any time to meditate upon the Word of God today? I'm not saying you got to sit down and read four chapters and go through the whole Bible, but there ought to be a time in the day when you look into the Word of God and feed off the Word of God, meditate upon the things of God, and pray. And let God speak to you through His Word. The Bible is of vital importance, and so He's talking about the defense, the fight that that's set before us. The Word of God is important in our lives. If we're going to defend the Word of God, then we need to know what the Word of God says. Know what we're talking about. It is, first of all, it is the pillar of faith. The pillar of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, doesn't it? And hearing by the Word of God. That's a very simple statement. The Word of God is what got me under conviction. With the Word of God and the Holy Ghost of God and me realizing that I was going to have to stand before a holy God one day and give an account of myself and of my sins. It brought fear into my heart. And it does the same for anybody tonight. These little children, they need to grow up hearing truth. They need to hear the truth. And you may not think they're listening, but they are. And they're watching. When I was a little boy, I can remember things in church. This was before I was school age. I can remember things that took place in church. I took notice of people, how that God moved upon them. And I took notice of their worship and their praise. And I took notice of the preacher. I took notice of his tears, of his compassion, and many things that I can remember from being just a little child in church. And it's important to get that in them at a young, young age. It's important that God be the center of your home. It's important to see that mama and daddy, that they love God and they love each other. Home ought to be a a refuge to a child. They don't need to come home to fussing and fighting. They need to come home to loving parents that love God, love each other, and love their children, and lift God up before them in their home. Truth. The Word of God, the Bible, is the pillar of our faith. And Jude says that we better be earnestly contending for it, because it is under attack. The Word of God's powerful. It's quick. It's alive. There's no book like this book ever been printed before. You may have seen the commercial on TV of Franklin Graham saying that the Bible there's been more Bibles printed and more Bibles sold than any other book that's ever been. It's not just a book, friend. It's the Word of God. It's the living Word. You want to hear from God? You want to hear God speak? Read your Bible. He'll speak to you. I remember as a young Christian one time, I just got saved. I got into the Bible and it all seemed foreign to me. I couldn't understand things in it. And I was over in the book of John. I couldn't tell you what verse it was now to save my life, but for some reason it captivated me and I couldn't understand it. And so I'd heard somebody say, well, pray. Study and pray. You know what I did? I prayed and asked God to give me some understanding of what I was reading. You know, it's just like you flipped on a light switch. God met with me and God began to feed me. And I realized I need to pray, I need to study and I need to pray and ask God to give me understanding. And do I understand everything in this Bible? No. Never will. I'm sort of shallow-minded, to be honest with you. But I thank God for the things that He has showed me and for the things that He's spoken to me out of the Word of God. The Word of God's profitable. Paul told young Timothy, it's profitable to us. And we need to study and get the things of the Word of God, what it says to us. I want you to look with me in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Listen to what the Bible says here. Paul said in chapter number 2, verse 10, "You are witnesses in God also how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectively worketh also in you that believe." You want to know what God's will is for your life? Get in the Word of God. It teaches us. It speaks to us. It guides us and it shows us what God expects of us in our life. In Psalms chapter number 25, but I want to show you a couple more things here before I move on to something else. Psalms chapter number 25. 25 and verse number 5. The psalmist says this, "Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." Lead me in thy truth and teach me. Teach him what? Teach him how the Word of God and the things of God. In Psalms 143. Psalms 143 in verse number 10. He says, "Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness." So, we ought to have a desire to know more about the Word of God. We ought to have a desire to commune more with God. The Word of God is preserved. It stands forever. And it's under attack in the day and hour that we live. Notice what Jude says right here in verse number 18. He says, "How that they told you that there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit." Those that are the devil and his angels, the those that are serving the devil are attacking the Word of God today, and they're attacking the church of God. They're attacking the children of God. And Jude is saying, be ready for it. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. And so we ought to realize the importance of our Bible. But notice secondly tonight, the importance of our building. Notice what he says in verse number 20. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. I see right here a personal responsibility. Notice how he words this verse right here. He says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves. You hear me? Building up yourselves. There's a personal responsibility for me right here in this Bible right here to keep myself strengthened in the Word of God and in the things of God. You know, exercise is good for you. Eating is good for you if you eat right, isn't it? And Jude says we need to be built up. We need to exercise ourselves in the Word of God. We need to feed off the Word of God. And he says, build yourself up. You want to be a better Christian? You want to be a better, mama, a better daddy, a better grandmother, grandfather to your children? Then get built up in the Word of God. Get strengthened in the Word of God. And it's a personal responsibility. But I see not only a personal responsibility, but I see a practice that's required. Notice what he said. He said, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying. What we need today is prayer warriors. Amen. Prayer is hard work. Amen. Prayer requires sacrifice. Prayer requires that we have a burden to pray to begin with. If we don't have a burden, we're not going to do much praying. We're bad to open up one of these little canned prayers. Little prayer that we repeat over and over. Amen? Now lay me down to sleep. I pray, dear Lord, my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray, dear Lord, my soul you'll take. Anybody ever tell you that when you was a kid? That's a little canned prayer. And we get in a habit of praying things. And most of the time, you know what we pray most of the time? Self. Lord, do this for me. Lord, would you help me with this? Lord, do for me. Prayer ought to include thanksgiving. Prayer should include praise. Prayer should include obedience. Prayer should include yielding and offering ourselves a sacrifice to God. Prayer should be for others. Supplication, intercession for all saints. We need prayer warriors. And I thank God there's a few. There's a few. I might not be standing here before you tonight if they hadn't been some prayer warriors praying for me when I was lost. I believe that with all my heart. Prayer makes a difference. Don't let nobody tell you that prayer doesn't make a difference. It does. And it does, and it does, and it does, and it can, and it will. And I challenge you to check up on your prayer life. There's a personal responsibility. I'm in this building. There's a practice required, but there's a partner that's ready. You see, we don't pray alone. He says, praying in the Holy Ghost. Notice this. I want you to turn with me in the book of Romans right quick. Romans. You're familiar with this, but I'm going to read it here. Talking about praying in the Holy Ghost. He says in verse number 26 of Romans 8, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Look at this. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Have you ever really got in touch with God? You ever really got down praying to God and you got up and you didn't even know what you said? I have. That's what you call getting plugged in with the Holy Ghost. He'll give you utterance. He'll join you in prayer. I know that it's often been said that He's interceding with us with groanings which can't be uttered, but He'll get in the prayer closet with you. He'll get on the floor with you. He'll get in your heart. He'll feel you, and He'll give you the things to pray. Just get down and get right with God and begin to pray and ask God to show you what you need to pray for and who you need to pray for and what you need in your life. Prayer was one of the greatest practices of the early church. Prayer is probably the most neglected thing in the church of our day. Didn't get any amens right there, but it's the truth. We live in such a busy day and distracted by so many things of this old world right here that we ain't got time to pray anymore. We ain't got time. Well, if we get, you know, through our day somewhere, we might find a couple of minutes, you know. We might be able to look up and say, thank you, God, for all you do for me. But there needs to be a time when we fall on our face before God, realizing what God has done for us. And a good place to start is just take another look at Calvary. Where would we be without Calvary, Brother Vince? The darling Lamb of God took upon Himself my sins, your sins, and the sins of this whole world. And we ought to come before Him with thanksgiving and praise. And thank Him. I think it might have been Jamie mentioned Calvary the other day. That veil that separated us from the Holy of Holies, from being able to go before God. When Christ cried, it's finished. That veil was torn from the top to the bottom. Opened up a way to a throne of glory. That we could come before the Lord. Make our request known to Him. Know that the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are always open unto their cry. God hears and answers prayer. And Jude says right here, build yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. The importance of our Bible, the importance of our building, the importance of our burden. Let's move a little further right here in the Word of God. The importance of our burden. It's important for me and you as Christians to have a burden. Amen? We ought to have a burden for lost sinners. We ought to have a burden for these little children in the world that they're going to be growing up in. We ought to be the best that we can be as an example to them. When we come to worship God, come to the house of God to worship God, we ought to worship Him. Amen. We didn't come to a picture show. We didn't come just to be a spectator. This is a house of worship. We ought to worship Him. It's great to have good singing. It's great to have good preaching. But when we enter in these doors right here, it ought to be a time of thanksgiving and praise, worshiping our God for what He's done for us. Count your blessings. Where would you be without the Lord's blessings tonight? The importance of our burden. First of all, notice in 21, we ought to just keep loving. He says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. We ought to have a burden for our church that we'd be in unity, that we'd love one another, that we'd love lost sinners to a point when we come together that we ought to have a burden looking about to see who we can pray for, see who we can help. And look about lost sinners mentioned in the prayer room tonight. Pray for them. God wants to do great things, and He wants to do it through me and you. We can be a vessel that God can use. Keep on loving. Love God. Love the church. Love your brothers and sisters. This ain't no place for grudges and backbiting. Amen. This is a place for forgiveness. You want your prayers to be hindered? Have unforgiveness in your heart. Read your Bible. If we got an unforgiving spirit, God won't hear our prayers. He tells us that. Not only that, the importance of our burden to keep on loving one another and to keep on looking with compassion. Look what he says in the next verse. And of some have compassion, making a difference. Look about with compassion on folks. Don't look about to judge people, but look with compassion. When Jesus walked up and down the shores of Galilee and on the dusty roads over there where He walked day by day, He didn't go about judging people, but He went about with compassion. He took the worst of the worst and he healed them. He forgave them. He did great things for everybody because He had compassion. And He wants you and I as the church of the living God to be looking about on each other with compassion. Compassion. Christ-like compassion. God help us all. Gossip. Judging. The things it ought not to be among us as children of God. A grudge or having fault with somebody. We got to be forgiven and have compassion on one another. If you look at me long enough, you'd find some faults in me. Amen. I might say something tonight to offend somebody, but you ought not to hold it against me. Tell me about it and I'll apologize to you. Unless I'm lined up with the Word of God. If I'm in the Word of God, I have no apologies to make. Keep on loving God, the church, lost sinners. Keep on looking with compassion. But notice this, keep on laboring. He says, and others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Say with fear, pulling them out of the fire. We are not to pick and choose who we have compassion on. Somebody could come in here with alcohol on their breath. I was in a church one time, and a fellow that I ran with as a lost sinner, he had that demon of alcohol. And he come to church some. And you know what? I'd go back there to speak to him and all, and I could smell it on him. But oh, how I wanted him to be saved. And he's gone now into eternity. I hope he got saved before he left this world. I prayed for him. I tried to do everything I could to befriend him, let him know he was welcome at the house of God. And we'll have that same love. Laboring. Don't give up. Give up. Don't throw in the towel on anybody. Keep on praying. While they've got life and breath, keep on praying. Don't give up on them. There's people that'll hurt your feelings. You hear me? You may go witness to somebody and they may just come back at you with something that'll stab you in the heart, hurt your feelings. You know what y'all do? Pray for them. Pray for them. Don't give up on them. The importance of our burden. It's important that we as children of God have a burden, a Christ-like burden. Do you know that Jesus, can you imagine the burden that Christ had for you and me? To leave the glories of heaven, come into this world, take upon Himself the flesh of man, walk up and down the roads, knowing that at the end of the way there'd be a cross that He'd have to die upon, knowing that He'd be beaten to where He didn't even look like a man, knowing the shame of having the sins of the entire world placed upon Him. He that knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of Him. Lastly, this. The importance of our Bible, the importance of our building, the importance of our burden, but the importance of our benefactor. These last two verses I want you to notice here. A benefactor. One who bestows benefits, or one who gives benefits to you and I. Notice what Jude says right here. He says, "Now unto Him that's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and forever. Amen." I'm glad we got somebody to lean on tonight. Somebody to lean on. He said to keep you from falling, but you know what? I can fall. You can fall. But I'm glad we got somebody tonight that'll reach down and pick you up and lift you up. He loves you that much. We can lean on Him. We can love on Him. We can lift Him. We can give Him praise, just as Jude says right here, "To the only wise God and our Savior be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Amen." Looking at what Christ had done for us. Delivering the faith. Defending the faith. Get in the Bible. As I said at the beginning of this message right here, these little old children, boy, how they need us. Boy, how they need us. This wicked world today that we live in, the devil wants them. You listen to me? The devil wants your children. The devil wants your church. He wants you. We better get in this fight because time is running out. The Lord's coming one glorious day. Now I hope you're ready to meet Him. Glad I am. All right. Stand with us tonight. I appreciate you being